to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Live
at Misfit Toys.
Man, you fuck.
Live.
I try to keep PG-13, but you mess up my dramatics, man.
I'm sorry.
You just had to spurt out.
Just like the film in question today, not everything can go smoothly.
I'm done already.
You done? He knocked over his water. Things isn't working. Long, you didn't say hi. We're a mess today.
No.
Remember, he's not doing that anymore.
We're not doing that anymore.
Last week.
Oh, that's right.
Hello.
There we go.
I promised that was the last time.
Okay, this now
was
that's the last time. This one's the last time?
That just sort of started, and it became a thing.
It did, but...
That's how things become things.
Yeah, I'll start it again if anyone writes a complaint about it. So...
Now you know Francisco's going to write a complaint now. If I look, you have
to complain. No, he won't. Present company accepted, though. Sorry.
So, man, we're back at Misfit Toys, this really cool, nostalgic toy store here in Houston, Texas, over in the heights off of Yale and 18th Street. If you've never been here and you're into geek culture, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Absolutely.
Come see Daniel and his cool collection of toys. He's got, we did Bill and Ted's last week. He had a freaking Bill Esquire figure over there.
Wow.
You know, he's got horror figures, Star Wars. I'm sitting in front of a wall of X-Men stuff. To our right is Power Rangers.
There's a light bright over
Batman
there.
Batman the Animated Series, Care Bears, which Matt loves. My Little Pony, you know, man, I know Matt plays with those all the time. Lord of the Rings stuff. I mean, you name it, he's probably got it. And if he doesn't have it, he's going to find it for you.
Yep.
I mean, that's just how he does it. Customer service stuff. Long buys a lot of Godzilla stuff from him. You know,
Transformers.
And God, yeah. Well, you know, I wasn't trying to be like Asia Day there, man. Say, you buy Godzilla.
Yeah.
So, so, you know, I got to be careful.
Godzilla's more expensive to collect, though.
Yeah.
yeah, Godzilla toys.
Lots of really cool stuff, and we appreciate them letting us do our show here. This is our second time here, and we can't thank him enough other than promote the hell out of him on the show. We give him a lot of props for allowing us to sit here in this place and sweat our balls off and record a show.
I should have brought my headband or something, my sweatband.
Next time we'll put a fan right here because it'll blow at least off our fucking nuts.
I do have a couple
fans. You're obsessed with NADS today, Mark.
NADS.
Hey, man, you know,
hot NADS.
I've been free for a few hours, so get it all out there. I just saw that creepy American Psycho figure over there.
Yes.
That's kind of scary.
The one in a dress, too. Did you see that one?
There's that one, second.
From Psycho.
Oh, yeah. Psycho? Yeah, where he's wearing his mother's clothing.
Yeah.
So, how was y'all's week been?
It was all right.
All right.
Mine has been filled with. So you know, we were in the car accident, and I'm asking for injury compensation. Is that a lot of sternum pain and things like that? So they send you these doctors for like therapy, and it's real like under the table like stuff. But I guess it's the way it works every day. So I feel kind of like awkward going.
Wow.
But at the same time, it's like I have to do what they tell me to do, so I get some sort of compensation for this car accident. So I've been to the doctor almost every day this week, except for Wednesday.
Wow.
Did you get any happy endings?
No. Oh. Not that kind of doctor. Massage therapies.
Okay.
I mean, it might be more beneficial, you know?
Yeah.
But so it's been a week filled with doctor's visits and, you know, and...
Hopefully the insurance is paying then.
Yeah, well, the lawyers take it out whatever settlement you end up getting in the end. I mean, your insurance pays some of it, then the lawyers pick up the rest of the tab.
Mm.
I don't know. It's like I said, it's all very, like... shady business kind of, but
who's it, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer?
No, but if it gets me some sort of compensation for this asshole hitting us, you know, then it's worth it in the end, I guess.
In fact, you had three kids in the car with you.
Exactly. And you know, so hopefully something pays off for it. And that being said, it's just been a I'm gonna try to be nice. And you know, when you find out that your ex-wife is suddenly dating someone, and like it makes you a little mad and you want to break shit, but you know what, I'm going to be a better person.
That's right.
You know, if she wants to go date some chick that looks like a dude that doesn't make sense to me, then whatever.
We're going to be sure to edit that part out.
Hell no, because it's not a knock on people that are, because I don't care. You know, you can be whatever you want in life. I'm just letting out a little anger on the show. Right.
That's like if he told me I look like a moose and I look like a moose. I mean,
no, I fully support the people of all genders and everything else.
Yeah.
But I just had to vent a little bit. And podcasting is my outlet to vent. So
let
me vent long. I didn't say anything that mean. You know what? So she's not going to listen to the fucking show anyway.
No, it's true. Well, so, you know.
But other than that, the week was okay. I had to go back to work. That sucked. And that's about it. And doctors and no happy endings. But this is a happy ending of the week, recording a show with my buddies.
There we go. So we're the really equivalent.
With tacos.
Really cool toys. Yeah. For
tacos afterwards.
We're doing tacos?
He compared us to a happy ending.
No, that's fine.
It's not set in stone.
That's right. We talked about tacos last week.
Yeah. It's not set in stone, though.
A lot's happened since we talked last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, whatever. That's cool.
Hey, man. I'm like the wind. I go anywhere.
Yeah.
And, like the wind.
Wherever the wind blows, I go. Freddie Mercury. Bohemian Rhapsody.
There you go.
Did he say that in that song?
In the song.
Anywhere.
I only know when I hear the words. You know, I just.
He just sang it.
I know.
Yep.
Mixed Master Long. Okay.
Matt. He was the one that's singing.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. What is that? Is that Sabretooth?
That looks like Sabretooth, but if he sang lead for Van Halen. Or Whitesnake.
Whitesnake.
Yeah, he looks like
Gonzo, man, right?
Wasn't there a band called Great White?
Yeah.
Shark?
There might be.
Oh.
Lots of bands in the 80s with
weird names. Rattlesnake?
So, man, we're here in this toy store, and this is our 150th episode, which that's kind of a big deal.
150?
Yeah.
A buck wow. 50.
And we did it in 5 years. And we're moving along, though, because we did 100, just last summer? Because you came, yeah, that's before you started being a regular on the show.
Yeah.
You came and did 100 with us, did Star Wars, and
New Hope.
That was last about a year ago. So we're moving, chugging right along. We're going to hit 200 before you know it. This time next year, we'll be on 200.
That's nuts.
That's crazy.
Yarp.
And when we started this, we didn't know what we were doing.
No.
We had no clue. We're like, let's show
it. We had a rock band mic.
Yeah, we used rock band mics.
And we passed it to each other.
We recorded some shit and put it down. And like, if I had to do it all over again, I would totally do it completely different.
Yeah.
But we learned a lot. We've come a long way.
Rock band mic.
And we appreciate people that have stuck with us. I wonder if there's anyone out there that's heard all 150 episodes, ourselves not counting. You know? And so, hey, here's to 150 more. And what a pleasure it is to record at Misfit Toys, our 150th episode, in which we'll be talking Raiders of the Lost Ark, one of my all-time favorite movies. But before we get to that...
Ark.
I said Ark.
So I wasn't supposed to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark?
No. Is that some porn movie?
No.
That's Raiders of the Lost. Never mind. Going too far there. All right. So as we always start every show, we talk... what we watched this week, streamed, downloaded, what we checked out with the movie theaters, saw, or anything cool. What did you guys see this week?
I was planning to go see Toy Story 4, but that's not until
it's
next
not out
week.
Yet. Yeah. You were so excited that you jumped the gun.
Yeah. I've watched every Toy Story movie since I was a sophomore in high school. It was like, there's no reason to stop.
Super positive review so far.
Yeah. Same. By Disney Shills.
On Tomato Meter.
Disney Shills. Every time a Disney movie comes out, they give it a good review. Yes, I am very bitter.
It, you know, Despicable Me still beat it out.
For what?
Despicable Me 3.
The tomato meter?
No, not tomato reader. Like money.
Money?
Oh.
Money, dude. Made like $1.3 billion.
Well, I mean, Despicable it's a stupid 3. Movie for stupid people, and there's more stupid people in the world than there are smart people.
Steve Carell, Kristen Wiig.
You ever heard of the 30-70 rule? There's 30% smart people and 70% are dumb people.
Yeah. We're off to a good start at 150.
Well, I'm angry now.
What about...
he started it.
What about casual people?
He did stupid people. Man, we're just going... No. Who do you want to diss today, Matt? No,
stupid kids.
Bearded
mainly.
People. What's with your beard anyways?
Hey, I shaved last night. Dude, because my beard, after being on vacation, my beard was totally on vacation. It was like... everywhere yesterday. I was like, I better shave before I go to Misfit Toys and have to take pictures and stuff.
That's
okay.
They
want to look sexy for you guys.
There
That's
we go.
Okay. Godzilla's been around for 65 years.
That is true.
It was here before us. It'll be here after
us.
Yeah,
before Bond, before Star Wars, before Star Trek.
Before slasher films.
Before slasher films.
20 years before slasher films. 1974.
I don't know.
Yeah, because 55 was Godzilla, right?
Isn't there like some
54.
Isn't there like some old-timey,
no.
like, you know, black and white noir movies that are kind of slashers?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Nope. You had the closest thing you could get was Tales from the Crypt comics. You had slasher comics before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what did you watch?
I watched Red Dragon. That's the prequel.
My memory.
The prequel to Silence of the Lambs.
Oh.
The one where...
Ridley Scott directed that one, right?
Believe it was Ridley...
No, he directed the Hannibal.
Oh, he did? Yeah, he directed Hannibal. The first Hannibal. This is the one with Harvey Keitel. And crap, the guy who played the Hulk... why can't I think of his name right now?
Eric Bana?
No. Difficult dude to direct with.
Brian Cox?
No.
I know there was a Red Dragon movie that
name?
Came out.
Edward Norton.
Edward Norton. I can't. I'm like, I had his face in my head. I couldn't think.
Directed by Brett Ratner.
I'm so sorry you wasted your time.
It was a good movie. I liked it.
Well, Red Dragon. Know. Yeah.
It's, you know what? It is worthy of an episode on this podcast one day. It is.
I remember seeing it. I thought it was okay. Because here's the thing. I wasn't a huge Silence of the Lambs fan. I'm like, but my buddy Nasso, you know Mark, he drugged me to see Red Dragon with him, he drugged me to see Hannibal with him, and all of them I was just like,
Hannibal wasn't that great.
I'm like, and then Hannibal Rising, he drugged me to see that.
Hannibal
too.
Rising wasn't that
and
great.
And all
either.
Of them, I'm just like, I walked out of the theater, I forgot him immediately. None of them were memorable to me. I just, even Silence of the Lambs, I know one Best Picture, but all I remember is the lotion in the basket part from that movie.
Really?
Or anything else.
I have personally never walked out of a movie, but Mortal Kombat Annihilation pushed me hard.
Yes. Felt Let's like kill it. Everyone in the first
I've,
5 minutes.
Not because
movie.
Of that, but you know, I mean,
it was just bad.
I
it was
remember, just, yeah. I walked out of Natural Born Killers to gather myself. Yeah, it was so messed up that I walked out for a minute and was like, and I went back in and I finished it because it was just so. I mean, y'all probably seen it by now. It was so intense that I just had to, when the part where he's cutting Robert Downey Jr.'s ear and all that. I walked out for a minute. I was just, it was too much. Because there's so much violence in that movie. And it's just like, and I gathered myself, I walked back in, and I cringeworthily finished it somehow.
Wow.
You know? But I don't think I ever walked out of a movie because it's bad. I made it through Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yeah.
Even though it was terrible.
In Red Dragon, apparently Edward Norton, you know, Edward Norton wants his hands in every film that he's in. He forced the director to film certain scenes, and then he just said, okay. And then, you know, like a kid handing you macaroni art. You know, he left it up on the fridge for a little bit and then took it down whenever he submitted everything for editing. So they edited it all out. But I liked it. It feels like a Criminal Minds, like a long episode of Criminal Minds to me. That's how it feels. And I guess that's why I feel like it's decent, because those episodes and those kinds of shows have become more common. And, you know, it's a little bit more, with the times. I'd say it's probably... Of the films after Silence of the Lambs, it has to be the best one. Hannibal and Hannibal Rising wasn't that great at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they made the TV show that only lasted like a season.
Yeah.
And I actually, okay, I take that back. When I come to say I don't have a lot of memory of the Hannibal stuff, I did watch like the first three episodes of the show, and I thought it was pretty good. I thought the TV show was pretty well done. Then I just sort of like...
That's with Mads Mikkelsen, right?
He made the show because he was so good. And then I just sort of lost track of the show. I'm very good at keeping up with network.
Well, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, so that's all you watched?
That's all I watched.
I was disappointed that it was not based on the A-Team leader.
Right?
Hannibal.
I know.
Mr. T pops in there.
What's wrong with you, Hannibal? Hannibal!
That's the best part of the A-Team movie version is Liam.
I like the movie version.
I have it because I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good action movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Liam Neeson, you know, he's got a bigger dick than everybody else. So he owns that movie.
Yeah.
And Bradley Cooper before he like was Oscars and all that. So it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, and Charlton Copley was pretty good too.
Yeah. A good little flick. I think I picked it up on clearance, like a half price books, for a couple bucks on Blu-ray.
Not bad.
But you know what? For a couple dollars, I'll own this movie.
That's right, Hannibal. I paid the fool.
Today. I haven't watched it yet. I was in half price books earlier today, and I picked up Ghost in the Shell, the one with Scarlett Johansson.
Nice.
It was probably $3 in clearance. So it's like,
not bad.
I've been playing that movie in the background whenever I'm just like, I shipped a ton of stuff from eBay.
It's got ScoJo in a skin-tight outfit for most of the movie. It's worth watching.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
But not as skin tight as Under the Skin.
Yeah, but that, you know, that's not really her.
That's not her, though.
It's Don't all lie. Stand-in.
Don't lie to me. Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
No.
I know. I'm
it's okay.
Disappointed,
you,
too.
You can find her the clips that her boyfriend leaked that one time on the internet. And that,
you
that'll
mean
get
her
you
boyfriend
by.
Who was, well, who was it? Was it Bradley Cooper at that time?
Or was it Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, yeah.
Ryan's known to leak things out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan would do that. Oops.
So
what a douche.
I watched the first three or four episodes of Dragon Ball Z, which is a subculture of things we watched.
The original?
That I've never really known much about. Like, I've seen parts of the Battle of the Gods movie and things I know through Matt, and I know who the characters are, and the Dragon Ball Fighter game. But I was like, you know what? I'd ask Matt to borrow season one so I can kind of get a little more culturally know this stuff, especially my son's into it. And it's pretty good so far. It's very patchily animated. You can tell that the animation's going to get better as the show goes once they make more money off of it.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's actually really well story-wise told very well for 20-minute episodes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I can see already after four episodes, that what is what appealed to people. That is a solid story. It doesn't take itself too serious, but serious enough that you know that it is serious, but yeah, it's goofy, which is what good anime does, I think, in a lot of ways. So I watched that, and then I rewatched Aquaman, and it actually held up pretty well. I saw that.
My wife was disappointed because she's like, hey, can we watch
your Amazon Prime?
Yeah, we watch a movie every night for the most part, as long as we get the kids in bed in time and we fill up to it.
Dude, if it's still $10, we're having a copy of it.
She's like, hey, can we watch Aquaman since apparently you bought it?
$10.
And I was like, that went to Mark's house. She's like, no.
And that's why I grabbed it. I was like, for $10, because they had it in Target for $10. But man, if you go in Target or Walmart with kids, they want to look at everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could just have it sent to the house for $10, you know, because Amazon... you know, had it for the same price. So.
And they've been doing a whole lot of, like, next day free shipping, and you don't even have to order over $25 or $35. Yeah. So they've really stepped it up.
I'll buy Aquaman Blue for $10.
Mm-hmm.
The digital copy for $10, right?
It came with Blu-ray, DVD, and digital.
Yeah. Oh, really?
That's a really good deal.
Holy shnikes.
It was a good deal for
$10.
I'm a lot more patient with buying movies than I used to be. I used to always get them when they first came out. Like Spider-Verse, I waited 2 or 3 weeks, got it for like 16.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Aquaman, I waited, got it for 10. I don't have to have it. Star Wars is probably the only thing I'll go buy right when it comes out now.
Yeah.
Those movies I can be pretty patient on.
I'm buying it just because it had kaiju action at the end.
Endgame, I might go buy the day it comes out.
Heck yeah.
I think that would be worth it. But yeah, that's really all I watched this week, honestly, with work and the dark point. I didn't have a lot of time, so I watched a little bit of Dragon Ball Z and Aquaman the other night. Yeah. So we all kind of slacked. Did you watch anything? Did you even say? Are you sort of passed it to Matt?
I kind of passed it to Matt, yeah.
Yeah.
Slack would download this one.
No, I'm not Slack. Well, maybe I am. But no, actually, I have been watching a lot of special preview videos of E3, of some of the upcoming games.
Oh, my God.
And some of them
Dragon
are like...
Dragon Ball Z Kakarot?
Yeah. And a lot of them, I'm interested in a lot of Nintendo games that are coming out. Even though I haven't played on my Nintendo that much, my Switch. But, you know, these are like half-hour presentations.
Right.
And so these should count as download this, considering. Man, it's just...
No, that's good. We can talk some E3 because I didn't really write down the news.
Yeah.
So we can talk a little bit of it now.
Yeah.
Man, I have to say that... That Keanu Reeves game looks pretty damn cool.
Oh, Cyberpunk? Yeah.
Cyberpunk.
That's my number one anticipated game.
It fits even on PS4. And
it is.
You know,
it is.
The system they were showing it on had to be... Like, it almost had to be right
that's
off
the
high-end PC.
That's the Xbox.
Never underestimate the Polish software developer.
That
looked incredible.
That trailer looks so good. Bungie and Destiny immediately went to Keanu Reeves and started pitching... ideas for him to come on. So they're trying to get Keanu on for Destiny 3.
This is when Keanu kind of became like this internet sensation overnight in the last few weeks. Y'all notice that?
Yeah.
Like memes and Keanu sleep. Keanu, his last name changed a different thing.
Yes.
Like all of a sudden. But
Keanu gets hurt. Keanu bleeds.
Yeah. And, you know, but
Keanu
yeah, that
reads
one looked
to
really
kids.
Good. I did have the Avengers game in the news. I actually think I'm one of the few people that aren't complaining about the way it looked. That thought it looked really good.
I'm a little disappointed by it. Personally,
I like the memes around it. You're like, hey, can we use you guys' images for this game? But yeah, we just want like $1 million, okay, you know, $1 billion.
Story wise,
how come no one complained about Spider-Man looking like James Franco last year, but they're gonna complain that these characters don't look like Robert Downey Jr. Chris Evans?
Well, I can't speak about other people, but what I can say about my personal disappointment with the Avengers game is that it's kind of rehashing familiar stories,
right.
Like. So, and the basic premise is the Avengers thwarted some terrorist act or whatever. And then, so now they're kind of on the blacklist they're being hunted down by the government.
Right.
It's like we've already gone through that with Civil War.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, why not just do Kang the Conqueror or something like that, you know? Or Annihilus or something. Or, you know, that's something that we haven't seen in the movies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't want to... And I, you know, and it's a little off-kilter seeing, you know, a different voice, you know, that doesn't sound anything like, you know, Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
You know, it's a little weird. But other than that, I mean, I'll give it a benefit of a doubt. It's made by the same folks who did the Tomb Raider reboot, which is a really good game.
Good game, yeah.
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 Yeah. And the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be an MMO RPG.
Yeah.
That looks... What? It's just a remake of Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, am I thinking of 14?
Yeah, 14.
I think I'm thinking...
They're going to try MMORPG again.
That's right.
Which they tried with 11, which is still... People are still playing it, but 11 was never the success they wanted it to be. But the 7...
No, it was. It was. You
know, well, I guess it started Asia. Out slow, yeah. But the...
14 is popular, too. Yeah,
but the 7 remake looks...
good.
Amazing. It's not just like... They completely re-rendered things. It's not just... I mean, it looks like from a ground-up remake.
It is.
Yeah.
I have a friend that plays 14 pretty hardcore, and he said that people to get a house there, it's hard because there's only a certain amount of land that you can get a house, and if you haven't been there or logged on in a while, it goes up for free, and he said people will just stand around, and you have to hit a sequence of buttons on your PC if you play it on PC. And
we're talking about 7. We don't care about 14.
I know, but he wrote a script to where he just hits one button and all the others follow really
macros.
Quick.
Macros.
Macro.
Yeah.
And he got it, and like he said, people wait for like 12 hours, 13 hours, 14 hours.
Macros on Star Wars Galaxies. Yeah. Remember those days?
Oh yeah, Star Wars Galaxies.
Oh, that is speaking of downloads. I've recently restarted playing DC Universe. Actually, I downloaded it on my PS4, and my character's still there. It's actually still very active. There's still a lot of people playing that game.
Okay.
It's fun. I've been enjoying playing it again. So, yeah.
I used to play City of Heroes back in the day.
If you play City of Heroes, you'll like DC Universe.
Yeah?
Yeah, but it's only on PS4. I don't think it's on 360.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a PS4 exclusive.
And 360. It should Xbox be on Xbox. One. Yeah.
Is it? Did they ever open up the Xbox
One? Xbox One.
They should.
But it's, man, I've been playing.
They want to make money.
So what else at E3? Final Fantasy VII Remake?
Yeah.
Cyberpunk. Avengers.
Dragon Ball Z Kakarot or Dragon Ball Kakarot.
I saw that one.
Yeah, it's the one where you go through
the RPG style game.
Yeah. And you go through the storyline that you're watching, Mark. So it starts whenever they're trying to prepare for the Saiyans that are coming to Earth, and goes through all whenever Goku goes into turns Super Saiyan for the first time, and it looks really good. The graphics are really good, better than Dragon Ball FighterZ. But I know Dragon Ball FighterZ is a different. Yeah, that's Marvel versus Capcom style fighting game. But it looks really good. Graphics are great. I don't know what they were showing it on. The quality of that, of all those games, look really good.
It's kind of disappointing that PlayStation didn't show up, because I know they're doing their own thing, because I was really looking for more Last of Us 2 information.
Yeah.
Maybe they just didn't have anything to show.
They did show Gears of War 5 for Xbox fans.
Yeah.
I've only played the first one of that game series. I know friend of the show, ex-host Frank, is a big Gears of War guy. He always was into that stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, there's big also Daddy. This Nintendo won this year's E3. The thing with the Xbox presentation, and they showed a lot of gameplay in all their previews instead of just cinematics.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people are really excited about the new Animal Crossing and the new Pokemon. And the new Luigi's Mansion coming out. And,
I like Animal Crossing back in the day.
And then Dragon Quest, which is done by the same artist who did Dragon Ball. You know, I'm actually going to try to check it out. You know, the thing about Final Fantasy VII Remake is that they changed up the battle system from very active, which is fine. But if they... And one of the reasons why I like Final Fantasy VII is because of the epicness of casting a really powerful spell. Like you summon a dragon and the dragon comes down, blows up half the earth or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If they take that out of the remake, I'm like, thanks, I hate it. You know, if they gimped any of those epic cinematic graphics while you're casting a magic spell, not interested. I don't care how pretty it looks. I'm that old school about it. But anyways, that's my download this.
Nice. That's my download this.
Yeah.
That's it. Then down with this.
Let's
E3.
Let's get into
one of the absolute greatest action adventure films. Yeah. Maybe the greatest action adventure film ever made, and that is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Until Mad Max.
I love Mad Max Fury Road. I still think this is probably my top two or three favorite movies ever made. I love Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's something I can watch anytime it comes on, any time of the day, week. I'll never forget that it was on TV when my second son Wyatt was born. I think that's why he's so full of adventure. It's because Indiana Jones was on TV. And this all came about from a conversation that George and Steven Spielberg had on vacation while Star Wars was hitting theaters. George always has a history of going on vacation when his films come out in case they don't do well. He doesn't have to hear about it. And he was in Hawaii with Steven Spielberg, and he was asking Steven, well, what are you going to work on next? And he was like, well, I've really been thinking about taking on a Bond film. You know, they kind of called me and wanted a director for the next Bond. And George was like, you know what? I've got something better. I've got a character named Indiana Jones. Well, at the time it was Indiana Smith. And he goes, it's called Raiders of the Lost Ark. And Spielberg was like, let's do it. And they got back from vacation. They worked on the script together. And as they say, the rest is history.
Yep.
And Indiana Jones was born. And now four films later, and a television show, and comics, and video games, and all sorts of stuff, Indiana Jones is part of our pop culture as much as everything is that's sitting in this room that we're at here at Misfit Toys. This is a film that I grew up with, and I can't say enough how much it is one of my all-time favorite films. And that's enough gushing over for a minute. Y'all's thoughts on the film, and then we'll get into some behind the scenes and talk about this movie.
I like how they incorporate the old 30s and 40s films, B-movies that used to show. You can tell that a lot of it is whenever they're in the temple or the ruins at the first scene. You can really tell that it's very very influenced by that, and just really fun right off the bat. Great score. John Williams did a really good job. London Symphony Orchestra, great soundtrack. It's definitely something you could probably sit through at a nice opera or an instrumental show if that's what you're into. It's, man, all three of the original films, and then even Crystal Skull, awesome. Just enjoy them all the time. Can watch them from start to finish, no problem, anytime it's on.
Crystal Skull, you're gonna make a lot of people mad.
Well, you know what, I know he didn't get into a whole lot of shape for that film, and that was probably my biggest beef for it, but we got Indiana Jones again. So, there was that. Long?
Raiders of the Lost Ark, it's a classic. I'm done.
Enough said. It's Raiders classic. Of the Lost Ark. If you don't know it, bad.
You were obviously way too young to see this in theaters. So I imagine you're the first.
I didn't see this in the theaters, personally.
Yeah. I may have with my father. Because he took me a lot of these movies when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But this is one of those I just remember watching it. Probably had it on, rented it from the B&B video several times, or watched it on Fox or Paramount TV or whatever freaking network we had back then many, many times. And I was able to see this on the big screen during the 25th anniversary back in like 2000 what year it came out? 81?
81.
So it's coming up on its 40th. So it was about 10 years ago, the 25th anniversary, I saw.
Nice.
They had screenings at theaters, and I saw it like at AMC Willowbrook, I believe, is where I went and saw it. I saw it on an anniversary screening. And then I was able to see it again at the Museum of Fine Arts, of all places.
Yeah.
Museum of Fine Arts used to do movie screenings. And again, NASA, he called me, hey, they're showing Raiders, you want to go see it? I was like, yeah, let's go see Raiders on the big screen again. Because they actually have a movie theater there inside the Museum of Fine Arts. So I was able to see this a couple of times on the big screen in recent years. And this is one of those movies, if it's ever playing in a repertory theater, go see it on the big screen, because there's nothing like that experience with the boulder coming down at the beginning of the film, from the huge set pieces and stuff out in the deserts of Tunisia where it was filmed.
Yeah.
Very much worth seeing on the big screen.
Yeah, I probably saw it in 95.
Harrison wasn't the first choice to play Indiana Jones.
No, Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck.
Who filmed Raiders of the Lost Ark.
What?
Yes, Raiders of the Lost Ark with Tom Selleck.
Is that a documentary?
You can look it up right now.
Is it fictional or what?
It was basically a spoof.
Oh.
Not a spoof, but just a rehashing to basically showcase what it would have been like if Tom Selleck was cast instead of Harrison Ford. And the result, I think most people and you know, everyone will agree is that they did a good job by casting Harrison Ford and not casting Tom Selleck. You know, he has a different way of portraying Indiana Jones, but more of a James Bond kind of style. The films, the scenes that I saw in it where he's with the lady, very James Bondish.
Well, but that's some of the things they attempted to change. Like at the beginning of the film, where Harrison or Indiana Jones comes out to talk to Brody, and he's in his bathroom. The original scene, they filmed him getting up next to a girl.
Yeah.
Because they wanted the idea he was like a James Bond. And Spielberg never liked that. He wanted it to be different than James Bond. So he edited it out and took out the scene where he just walks in there and you never know there's a female in the room. But the idea was that the original Indiana was closer to a Bond-like character. But as the scripts went along and the character developed, they felt that he was nothing like Bond. Mm-hmm. He wasn't that playboy type. That he was more of an everyman that could, you know, go on these adventures and also be a teacher. You know, and I'm kind of glad that did that.
The thing is, Harrison's still his favorite role.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, he absolutely loves the role of Indiana Jones.
He's like, if Captain America was a friggin' archaeologist, he's like, good for the sake of good, infallible, you can't bribe this guy. He's trying to do what's right all the time, no matter what.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's pretty cool about him.
I wouldn't mind seeing some kind of a depiction of Indiana Jones during World War II.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because Crystal Skull was based during the Cold War.
Right.
And then, you know, the three indie movies are set, you know, before Hitler's, you know, war.
Yeah.
War campaign. So it'll be interesting to see how.
Because Temple of the Doom is like right after World War One, essentially.
Mm-hmm. No, World War Two. No. It was, okay, I'm trying to remember.
Well, yeah,
it was 1938. For Raiders of the Lost Ark,
1934-35.
Yeah. So, and World War II started in 1939.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just a few years before.
Yeah.
So.
And then the Third Last Crusade is like.
It's still before.
Right before. Like 1940-ish. Yeah.
Yeah. Still in the 30s.
It doesn't surprise me that Spielberg kind of took away that debonair James Bond style, because this is the same guy that had walkie-talkies as guns and. And E.T.
Did you know that
South Park made a whole episode about how they were trying to Spielberg and
well that was the special editions.
Well, they made an episode where Spielberg and George Lucas were going to.
Oh, do we have
redo.
To go there?
Yeah, man, it's hilarious. So,
not really.
So Spielberg and George Stupid. Lucas are supposed to like reshoot and revamp Raiders of the Lost Ark, and the South Park characters are trying to get them to stop doing it, and they run into security guards who are trying to use walkie talkies and use them as guns, and then whenever
I think
they
you said this story before in the show.
No, I don't think so. Well, so they in the end. Cut through all the stuff. In the end, they open up the film tube, and they start melting away, just like whenever they open the ark. And they just disappear. And the South Park character covering their eyes.
To finish your side rant, though, that the recent re-release of E.T. on Blu-ray actually has the guns back in it.
I saw that. So.
Yeah.
He admitted that he did wrong, and that.
Did you know that some of the most famous lines in this movie are ad-libbed?
Yes.
Yeah. Whenever he says, it's not the years, honey, it's the mileage. It was not even in the script. He just made it up.
Everyone knows that.
Well, not everyone.
Yeah, not everyone.
No.
What if there's a lot of filthy casuals, as you like to say?
Did you know that the U-boat was a wooden replica that was also used in the German movie Das Boot?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm.
And then
same replica.
Everyone knows the famous Cairo Swordsman scene that everyone on set got really sick, and Harrison was
dysentery.
The sickest one.
Yeah, that's what
and,
they had.
Spielberg didn't get it because he didn't eat the food that was brought in. He was a big SpaghettiO guy. Spielberg ate like SpaghettiOs every day. That's why he didn't think he got sick. And Harrison, of course, got sick. And they were supposed to shoot this elaborate scene with the Cairo Swordsman, and he was going to use the whip. And Harrison could like barely lift his arm, and he's like. Why don't we just shoot the bastard? Or
something
like that?
Yeah.
And Spielberg's like, okay, let's do it. Instead of multiple takes, it took like two takes, and it became one of the most famous scenes in the movie that's been montaged many times in other films and television shows.
Yeah.
Was this movie independently funded by Lucasfilm?
It was because they had a lot of trouble finding a distributor. Mm. They could not find no one. Every studio passed up on it. They had to convince Paramount they wouldn't take any royalty monies if Paramount would pick up the film, because no one wanted to distribute this. So people were like, James Bond adventure movies, no one's going to watch this. You know, the sci-fi craze was going nuts at that point because of Star Wars and everything else, and people wanted science fiction and creatures and Clash of the Titans and monsters. You know, they didn't want an adventure film.
I wonder if that's why every time I see an Indiana Jones film on TV, it's always Raiders to me. Mm-hmm. So if they didn't take any royalties, I wonder if that's why. They're just like, oh, no royalties.
We need to make the money later on just, by selling it to television. I think George and Spielberg are both doing okay now.
They're probably fine.
Yeah.
Skywalker Ranch.
Yeah, I think they're probably...
It's all Disney property anyways.
Oh, yeah.
And it's... I wonder... I'm sure they'll go to Disney Plus.
Disney Plus? That'd be cool.
Yeah. And, well, you know R2 and 3PO are in the movie twice, too. They're engraved behind the Ark on the wall, and then they're in the Well of the Souls also.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. Just like,
are you talking about like in the World of Souls, like inside the mist?
Or? No, they're engraving on the wall again.
Yeah,
That one's harder to see. The Ark one you can see clearly in the movie in live action when they're walked away with the Ark in the shadows, you can see 3PO and Ark in the background. Yeah. The World of Souls one, you kind of have to freeze frame your player to really see it better, but it's there. Apparently, R2 and 3PO are in all the Indiana Jones movies at some point, you know, which has been a running joke between them, and even now it's even going to J.J. Abrams where he's known to throw R2-D2 into some of his films too, and apparently, you know, there's R2-D2 and was a one with the train Super 8.
Oh, Super 8.
Star Trek.
And in Star Trek, which we did a couple weeks ago, you can see R2-D2 floating in space. So it's kind of a joke between buddies to put these.
There's also a Millennium Falcon cameo in Star Trek: First Contact.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the Millennium Falcon's fighting the Borg, kind of. You can if you see it. Really close. Yeah,
that's awesome.
And another, you know, this movie almost got R rating too because of the face melting scenes at the end.
Oh yeah,
they had. That's why it looks misty and foggy. They had to do that to make it look a little more animated, a little more less violent to get
more fantastic.
They didn't want R rating because you imagine Raiders Lost Ark. You know, Temple of Doom is famous for creating the PG-13 rating.
Yeah,
and this movie would have definitely been PG-13.
Kalima.
And but it works. You know, I think the animation still holds up today for when Tot at the end is getting his face all melted off and all the Nazis and everything. And another little note: speaking of the Nazis, there's not one mention in the original script of the word Jew. So they had that one line added in there where the general. Says, I don't like the Jewish way or something like that, just to remind people.
No, he says of this Hebrew relic or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And who else? This one thing I think the Indiana Jones films do really good, too, is like Belloc. They're really good bad guys.
Yeah.
You know, which is something that I think one thing that George Lucas is always good at doing is creating these characters that are larger than life, and you sometimes sympathize with them, you sometimes feel both sides of them. Between whether it's Luke and Han and Darth Vader, to even in this film, between Indiana and the Nazi generals, to Belloc and to Tot, he has this way of his imagination creating these characters that you might connect with in different ways, whether evil or good, and it definitely shows in the Indiana Jones films. And it's why Indiana is such a great character himself too, because like when you were a kid, didn't you want to be? You could imagine being Indiana Jones, you know. You could, because an archaeologist was something you could connect with. You could go to school and teach that and be an archaeologist, but you thought you were going to go on adventures like this. And when I took archaeology in college, I'm like, man, this shit's boring as hell.
Yep. The baby boomers looked up to John Wayne, and our generation looked up to Harrison Ford.
That's right. Hey, you wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
You know? But the Indiana Jones series, I think, is something that is amongst our best that we've had. And say what you want about Crystal Skull, a lot of people didn't like it. I did enjoy it for what it was.
Yeah.
As long as I could skip the swinging tree swinging scene, I'm happy.
I enjoy I've seen every episode of the Young Indiana Jones television series. I actually really like it. There's some episodes that are a little slower than others, but for a early 1990s television series that had a really high budget, it's actually pretty well done. Most of it was shot on location, which is what cost them so much money on the show. So they had to save money in other ways because the location shooting was costing them so much. It wasn't shot on Hollywood backlot. They shot a lot of that in places. And Sean Patrick Flannery, of course, you know, played young Indiana Jones in that show, who we never had on the show, but he did cut a promo for us, you know, for our show, because he was really nice. And he's from Houston. He probably lives somewhere. Who knows where he lives? I know he lives in Houston.
Lives somewhere over here.
His parents do. His parents live like a memorial.
It's better than 45. Yeah. The ever constructing 45.
You know, I've always thought that the that German guy, the first one, the one with the glasses, I've always thought he was Asian.
Oh, Tot?
Yeah,
Todd. Oh, yeah. I always thought he was Asian, too.
When I was
a
kid, he creeped me out. He scared me when I was a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, like, when you see him in more sunlight, it's like, okay, he's German.
Yeah. It's like when he walks into the bar, he's like, hello, Fernand. I'm like, guys, scary.
I just like how... one thing we should touch up on is the visual storytelling that this movie has. And I watched it this morning.
Yeah.
And it was like a lot of subtle setups done visually. Mm-hmm. It's not spelled out all the time. It's like if you see them, you know, talk about it visually, then, you know.
Cinematography-wise, this film is really excellent. Yeah. One scene I really like that I always felt was a callback to where in Star Wars you see Luke looking over the planet, the moons, and thinking about losing his uncle. I always thought in this movie where you see Indiana in silhouette standing above the well, not the Well of Souls, but the where they're going to dig for the Ark.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that was a really well shot scene out there, you know?
Yeah, with the background behind them and stuff.
Yeah.
There's a couple scenes that I always remembered from whenever I was a kid watching this. And it's, I guess the first one is... I guess my number three scene that I vaguely... descriptively remember is whenever he's fighting the beefy German dude and they're fighting around the plane. I always thought that was
parts of the movie. He gets killed twice.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. And then the propellers come and chop him up. I made my son keep his eyes open for that. I was like, you have to watch this. What's going to happen? You got to watch it. I can't tell you. And then, of course, the street scene where he just shoots the swordsman, and then the last one's when everyone's face is melting. I always remembered it as a kid.
You didn't force your son to watch that, did you?
Oh, hell yeah.
You did?
He closed his eyes, though. He's like,
it makes you stronger.
Yes.
Okay. But,
yeah, I think this whole movie's my favorite movie. I don't think I have a favorite scene. It's right up there with Star Wars. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I absolutely love Raiders.
I actually have a personal preference towards Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
Because
I like Last Crusade, you know, too a lot.
Yeah, me being like one of the few Asian kids growing up in Texas.
Yeah.
It's like I saw Short Round and he's with, you know, Indiana Jones, and I was like, man, I wish I was in that kid's spot.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
Yeah. Dr. Jones. Just like, you're cheating.
And it has arguably one of the best sequences with the rail car and the mines and all that.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah.
Oh, I agree. Man, all these movies have great sequences.
And a really good Disney ride.
Yeah, speaking of action scenes, rewatching it this morning, the scene where he's on the truck, the truck chase scene still holds up.
Spectacular.
Yeah, still holds up. So,
but
Spielberg is a master at filming action, you know? So...
yeah, he's one of our best. So, final thoughts on Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Man, if you're going to watch an Indiana Jones film and you got to pick one, pick Raiders.
Oh, yeah, I think it's a movie you would show anybody who's never seen an Indiana Jones film. Not that they wouldn't enjoy the others, but I think you got to start with
them. I love them all differently, but equally.
Yeah.
You know?
There's even things I liked them, like I said, in Crystal Skull, man. Like, the monkey swinging scene was kind of weird, but the rest of the movie, like, I had no problem with Shia LaBeouf being a son or any of that.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed a lot of parts of that film, you know.
That's when Shia LaBeouf could do no wrong.
The opening sequence is actually really excellent, you know, with the nuclear blast and all that. There's mm-hmm. something even like in that movie, you know.
It's campy.
It's campy, but fun, you know. Yeah. You know? That's why I think that's why I like the whole, people complain about the alien elements of it, but I kind of like the campiness of it.
Yeah.
I thought it worked for that.
I mean, it was definitely a 50s love letter. Sure. You know, for the science fiction 50s movies that Lucas and Spielberg grew up watching.
Yep.
But, you know, I don't think we mentioned enough. We should do small mention about Last Crusade. Mm. That's another great movie, too.
Shot with the great Sean Connery.
Yeah. You know, and...
it's probably the funniest movie, but not funny by being stupid. The jokes work between him and his father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he's like, Andy, the floor's on fire. What do you mean? He goes, it's on fire.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Indy finding out that, you know, they both slept with the same woman.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you
find out the dog was named Indiana. Yeah. Things like that.
So.
Yeah, I agree.
Love this movie. It's always going to be in my top favorite movies.
Extreme rewatchability,
mm-hmm.
without a doubt, for this movie.
Yeah.
It's funny because Father's Day is tomorrow, and I usually watch Raiders of the Lost Ark on Father's Day every year.
Oh.
It's like my Father's Day movie, but I don't have to now since I watched it earlier in the week. So, you know, but yeah, so it's just one
of those. Now you can watch Raiders of the Lost Ark with Tom Selleck.
I'll just watch Temple of the Demons. So, time for some news.
Time for some news.
And we talked a little bit of it from E3.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I didn't catch anything major this week.
Xbox Crimson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's called Scarlet.
Scarlet. Yeah, yeah. Scarlet.
Like a new system or something?
Yeah.
Yep. It's going to be like $600, I bet.
Oh, and this whole Google Stadia thing. That's a new game streaming service that Google's trying to come up with.
Yeah.
Where you pay, like, theoretically $10 a month, and you can play every major title over your broadband, you know, in real time.
Really?
Like, let's say you're playing Assassin's Creed, or let's say Gears of War. Mm-hmm. You're playing Gears of War, and you're playing it just through the internet connection without any lag.
Sounds
right?
Like problems.
Yeah, because really, I mean, it's more because it doesn't take into account data caps.
Right.
Because we are under Comcast, we have data caps.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and someone was like, you could stream it in three different qualities, 720, 1080, and 4K. And apparently, someone did a test of doing just 720 and 720p resolution, and he was streaming like, I don't know what, 20 gigabytes an hour?
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, if you add
the
that up.
The server calls would be astronomical.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then you have to have at least 35 megabyte per second download speed.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not taking into account if someone in your house is watching Netflix.
Yeah.
Or, you right. know, so.
Stuff Matt watches. I got you.
Yeah. I hope it fails, personally.
Yeah. It just sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah. And not only you pay $10 a month for whatever game you're playing, you have to pay an additional $60 for new release titles that are coming
what?
Out.
What?
Just yeah. buy the game.
Yeah, and then what happens if the service fails?
Yeah.
Right? What happens to your games? Gone.
Yeah.
You know? In the yeah. ether.
That's one thing about, at least when you buy a game digitally on your PlayStation account or your Xbox, at least you
yeah.
do, at least the digital copy is on your hard drive.
Yeah.
It's not server side, it is client side.
Yeah. So, you know, Sony and Microsoft aren't worried about it, and yeah. they shouldn't be. Microsoft has that Games Pass thing. You pay $10 a month, you could download whatever game that they have on their service, and you could play it as yeah. long as you want.
That's yeah. what I have.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I forgot about this. I downloaded Double Dragon Neon.
Is it PlayStation yeah. Now similar? I've never used PlayStation Now.
No, I think it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe it's similar.
I've never been a game renter, even when I was younger. I just, you know, I'll buy it.
You never went to Blockbuster and rented Battletoads?
Occasionally I rented stuff, but I never.
Speaking of Battletoads, did you see the reception?
Aren't they doing a remake?
Yeah, they showed the remake finally. They announced it last year. They showed the remake. The people are hating on the art style.
Really?
Yeah. If you catch a clip of it, you'll
I
see
saw
why.
Something, yeah.
Yeah. So. Just do a search on it when you get a chance.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyways.
Yeah.
Miscellaneous
E3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Tarantino's still talking up his R-rated Star Trek.
Yeah.
He's doing press for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and he says the script is ready. They just have to refine it, and they're talking like if they're going to do it, they want to do it with the possibly the Kelvin cast, you know, which is a new timeline, Chris Pine, all those guys.
Yeah.
But that's as much as he said that it's a hard R. It's got violence and language in it, and I'm still not sure how I feel about Star Trek saying F bombs and stuff.
Well, but, I mean, Discovery dropped their F bomb a couple of times.
Yeah.
So they're
yeah.
trying to go in a little more adult way. Maybe it is a way to fix. You know, we talked on the show a couple weeks ago that a new generation doesn't know Star Trek as well. Maybe this is what you do, is you bring it a little more edgy.
Yeah.
More
Why is Tarantino invested? He's a Star Trek fan or what?
Yeah, he's always been a big Trek fan. It's
oh,
one
okay.
of his favorite things. And yeah. and he hasn't said if he's going to direct it or not, because he keeps saying he's only doing 10 films, and Once Upon a Time is his ninth film. But he's also said he might do 11 films if he had an opportunity to direct a Star Trek film. So he wouldn't count as one of his 10 films.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So we can see. You know, it happens. Then Chris Pine could really, you know, get inside that green alien.
Yes.
In the Tarantino version.
Yeah.
Chris
Pine's a fantastic actor, and I heard that the movie Come Hell or High Water is a very good modern western.
It is really good.
Yeah. I need to see it. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's really good.
I need to watch that.
It was one of those that really surprised me. I was like, wow, this is actually really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it plays out really well. There's only 11 cities that are getting these. You're going to go get an upside down Whopper.
Really?
It ties in with Stranger Things, yeah.
Oh, that's
supposed
cool.
to start around the week the show comes on Netflix.
Don't forget about Coke. We have Stranger Things Coke.
Yeah, new Coke, which apparently is in some stores already.
Yes.
I Have you seen your store yet? We haven't gotten our store yet either.
Yeah.
You work for Coke. What's up, man? Yeah,
Walmarts are the first ones to get it. Sorry, guys. So you should see it in Walmarts in a week or two. I think it's like two more weeks. We've already started promoting it.
Well, there's some people have. There's, you go on Twitter, people are buying it somewhere already. It's already out.
Oh, speaking of which, you just reminded me. The family that owns a majority stake of Whataburger just sold their majority stake
to
a equity bank.
I know, all these Texans are crying. Whataburger's overrated anyway.
Equity firm. I'm in the same boat as you.
It's not what J.J. Watt
but, you know,
says.
Yeah, and J.J. Watt is coming in. It's like, no, you know.
Patrick
Mahomes agreed with them. It's going to end up like Carl's Jr.
But if you read the fine line of it, the family is getting older. The kids don't really have much interest in taking over the business. So they're doing this.
It kind of shows.
To secure the future of the company. Yeah. Because the other option is, Whataburger goes away. So they had to sell. And the family still owns majority interest. And for those that listen outside of Texas, Whataburger is a very famous burger chain here. And there's always argument whether it's the best or not.
In-N-Out or Whataburger.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't care. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
McDonald's here.
It just means if I'm ever in New York City for some reason, I get a Whataburger.
I actually like Wendy's more.
Wendy's makes me go to the bathroom.
Yeah,
and not in good ways. I don't know what.
Oh, okay. You're eating at the wrong Wendy's then.
So yeah, so you get an upside down Whopper based on Stranger Things.
So what's that supposed to be?
Basically, it's all turned upside down. I don't know. Just a marketing gimmick.
Like two beef patties and a bun in the middle, or
yeah. And it's not just 11 cities; it's 11 locations. So there's one in Houston. They didn't know what location was going to be in Houston. I'm sure it's going to be downtown.
Great job marketing
somewhere. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So I don't know. I don't get it.
Moving on.
We did, at Christmas time, right before you started the show with us along, we did Batman Mask of the Phantasm
episode. Oh, yeah.
And they're going to introduce the Phantasm into DC's continuity officially in January.
Nice.
Nice.
Being in a Batman
cowboy. You've seen that movie yet?
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, Harley Quinn was famously introduced into continuity years ago by Alex Ross, and she's going on to become one of the most popular Batman characters of all time. And I don't know if Phantasm will follow the same suite, you know, because comics are in
different. Well, as long as Tom King doesn't fuck it up.
Yeah. Well, they kicked him off of Batman because he's on some crusade to change the status quo of Batman forever, and apparently DC didn't like that. So we're like, okay, we're going to take you off the book. You can go to this Batman Catwoman miniseries. But I guess he's on a pretty strict leash. They didn't fire him from his editorial job yet. But I think the powers that be at DC aren't too happy.
I tried to read Mr. Miracle. Mm. I did like his book, The Visions, where it's about the Vision and he has a suburbia family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty good. But I don't know. Tom King's writing.
Changing the status quo of Batman. What are you going to do? Kill Alfred? And that's just going to make people mad. And some other writer is going to come along and bring Alfred back. Because how else can you change the status quo of Batman without killing Alfred?
Well, he was going to make them marry. Catwoman and Batman marry, but for some reason they pulled the plug on that.
Yeah.
So who knows? So last bit of news is Dark Phoenix, you know, hit theaters last week, did not do well. Bad reviews. And so the director, Simon
Go watch Godzilla instead.
Simon Kinberg has come out and he's spoken about the problems of the movie and taken the blame. Good idea for a director to do that? Or, because man, it could affect him maybe even working again.
He directed it.
Yeah. You know, so I don't know.
Wrote and directed.
I think that if you make a movie and it doesn't do well at the box office, you should defend your movie. Maybe not take the blame for it. That's just my thought. And whatever happens, happens, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe the movie will find a home on home video. But at this point, does it really matter anyway with the movies going to Disney in the next, you know, few years? You know, I mean, they own them now. But
I'm predicting at least a 3-year hiatus.
Oh, I think even more, probably.
4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it'll be for way X-Men. In the second half of Chapter 2, you know? So that's all the news I got. So let's preview next week's movie and finish up the show.
Yes.
So next week, man, we're going to be talking an animated adult classic. And a friend of the show, she wants to come on and talk this movie with us. Her name is Winter. She's does Benefit Betty's here in town, which is a burlesque show type thing where they do charity benefits and do other comedy shows and things. And she requested the film Heavy Metal.
Columbia Pictures presents Heavy Metal. A trip beyond the future to a universe you've never seen before. A universe of mystery. A universe of passionate fantasies. A universe of terrifying evil. A universe of magic. Heavy metal. Beyond science fiction.
So that's what we're going to talk next week. I know you've seen this, Matt. It's probably one of your boyhood, childhood fantasy movies. You know, probably sitting in the dark and your parents asleep. Like, oh, look at that, naked titties.
Cartoon boobs. And John Candy.
Yes. So, Long, have you seen, you've seen Heavy Metal, right?
I haven't. Never seen bits and pieces, I think.
Wow, man.
Just a good bits.
It's not, it's, yeah. I'm very aroused.
And it's a fun little flick. I mean, you know, it's a little different to watch when you're 40 something than it is when you were 16. But you know, it'll be fun to talk about. And
yeah.
You have to keep your tongue in your mouth talking about it.
Yarp.
When Brenner is doing the show with us, so that'll be next week. But yeah, man. Misfit Toys.
Misfit Toys.
This is awesome. Doing another live show here.
Come here, buy some stuff.
Yeah.
I donated some hook.
Thanks, Daniel.
Buying some shit. Yeah. Sweating your balls off, but it's all good. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I wouldn't have any other way because it's a lot of fun. And but yeah, thank you to Dale, and he owns the shop out here at Yale Street and at Yale and 18th Street in the Heights of Houston, Texas. Come check out his toy store, buy some cool shit from him because it's a neat store.
Yes.
And for us, go to rebelradiopodcast.com. Thank you, Francisco, man, for coming over and checking out and listening, watching us again. And, man, we always talk about doing, like, a Q&A, but, like, we need to get, like, 20 people in here. No, I don't know. I'd probably be, like, nervous to be sweating even more. But go to rebelradiopodcast.com for all your podcast needs. Like, I don't know what you would need. Just to find where you can listen to the show.
Yes.
We're on all apps and on Twitter at Rebel Radio Pod. We're almost to 1,000 Twitter followers. There might be like 800 of those are bots, but hey, at least we're almost to 1,000.
Yeah.
No, there's not. There's actually quite a, it's a lot of fellow other podcasts and stuff. So, you know. Anything? That's it?
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long.
As always, remember, just go
there and do it.
Please listen.
Hey, you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. My name is Sean Patrick Flannery, and I hope you dig the podcast.
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.